IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We're always so glad to be with you.
And we're in Park City today and the sun is just streaming in the windows. It looks so beautiful out there. You think to yourself, spring is coming, and then you look at the weather forecast and 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow.
And you look outside and there's like 2 feet of snow still here. We are still in winter at Park City. And it is amazing.
15 degrees on Sunday night, but we're okay with that, you know?
Are we?
Might as well stretch out that winter as long as we can. How are you doing today? Don't you wish we could just talk for a little while?
I wish we just have a conversation with you.
Say, what are you thinking about today? What are you worried about with your family? Have you ever thought what a blessing it is to be worried about your family? I mean, think of it that way. To have families, that are real, that are going through things just like we all are. What a blessing it is.
It is, and especially this morning because we have had a topsy-turvy morning, people coming in from all directions like, I need this and I need this and wait a minute, we double scheduled something and whoa, wait a minute. It really has, every morning is exciting when you have a big family.
And well, and when you have a small family, when you have any family,
any family is absolutely.
And that really kind of segues into what we want to talk a little about today, which is three-generation families. Let's spell family with capital letters, because family is a big thing. Family is not a small thing. Family, we're not talking about nuclear families, just a couple of parents and some kids. We're talking about family in the big sense of the word. Family going back to ancestors, family going forward to those that will come later. Family is the key to everything. And we really believe that. We really, really do. And it's not about the size of your family, because all of our families are huge if we think of it big enough.
Right, for sure.
We have our parents, we have our grandparents, we have our ancestors, we have those that go way back, and we all connect back there at some point. We've got this delightful app on our phone that many of you are familiar with, a Family Search, where you just turn it on when you're in the same room with someone, and they turn theirs on, and you find out if you're related, and you almost always are. I mean, you may have to go back 10 generations or 15, but then we all connect. And there's something kind of great about that.
It is great. But as we start this, I want to make sure that everyone out there knows that we know that life is not just a bowl of cherries with your family, because, wow, families are also so complicated.
But that's what I'm saying, is even the problems
are
part of life.
Get to be huge, I know, but sometimes they're so heavy. I'm having lunch with a good friend today whose husband passed away many years ago, almost 20 years ago, and her kids are in such a turmoil right now, several of them, and it's just, oh my goodness. Life is so hard as you struggle through with these families. I just want to make sure you know that we know that. There are so many hard things.
And what I'm trying to do is establish a commonality here so people don't say, well, your family has a lot of children and mine doesn't have a lot of children. Or, well, you have parents that are still alive and we don't. Or we find all these ways to say, well, my family's not like yours.
Or we're having so much trouble and your family just never has any problems, and we just want you to know
because people don't know the problems of other families. And the idea of, you know, thinking of family in a big way unites us. And that's what's important, and that's what we want to do. And as we've said often before on this show, most of the world thinks of family in a larger way. I'm not talking now so much about genealogy or progeny going forward. I'm talking about people in most of the world who live with at least three generations in the same house, sometimes four. And the grandparents are there, the parents are there, and the kids are there. Here in this country and in other some many other Western countries, we've sort of pared family down. And, well, we're so mobile and we move around so much that, you know, we're removed from the third generation or we tend to think of it as a little thing. And we want to expand that today, partly because every bit of research we can find and our own experience teaches us that we need three generation families, maybe not all living together, but all in close touch with each other and working together. We need that more now than ever before, because raising children today is so complicated and has so many facets and dimensions that if you're just trying to do it as a parent or as two parents, and you don't have any help from your own parents, the grandparents, it can be almost impossible, especially with the way our work schedules are now.
Absolutely. And it's so different. Raising our families now is so different than it was two generations ago. Entirely different.
You just did a podcast on that subject with our four daughters.
I think I may have mentioned it last time, but man, you know, anytime I needed to contact anybody at the church, I was stuck to a phone with a long cord that wound around, and we had a really long one. I remember we used to walk around the kitchen all around it, get it tangled up with things. Now our communication is so much simpler in some ways, but life has gotten so much more complicated that the complications just never end.
You would say that a cell phone is a simplifying device?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell.
I would say it makes life vastly more complicated.
But if I took your phone away from you for a day,
I know,
it would be so hard, because we are so used to just knowing what the weather is, knowing where we're going, knowing how to get there. All that kind of stuff is just incredible. But also being in touch with our kids. And it's so easy. And sometimes we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Sometimes we have to stop and focus. It's easy to contact my children or my grandchildren. I need to do it today.
Now, we used a word as the name of our episode just maybe a couple of months ago. And I want to come back to it for a minute. The word is propinquity. Propinquity. It's a lovely word. It kind of rolls off your, it just sounds, oh, I want propinquity. And it's a word that means the state of being intimate and close to someone, as in close family kinship. We need, if there's one thing we need in this world, it's more propinquity.
Yeah, that's true.
Where there's this intimacy and trust. And again, you're always good to point this out, honey. Families can sometimes be the bane of our peace and our propinquity, because there's conflict and there's differences and there's division. And again, that's part of life. But the idea of working on that as a priority, rather than saying, well, you know, forget my family. I'm here and they're there. And, you know, I've got my little life and they've got their little life. I'm not in touch with my cousins or my parents or my, you know, uncles and aunts or whatever. And I hate family reunions because they just bring out all our differences and so on. I mean, we know a lot of that is real, and we certainly feel it in parts of our family. But the idea of saying, yeah, but what can we do about that? Because blood is thicker than water, because these are our people. These are our families. And how do we work toward getting them to work better, especially the relationship between parents and grandparents, and how that relationship can affect the health, the security, the welfare, the well-being of the children, who are what we're all the most interested in, right? And if you're a single person, think about it this way. You're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a cousin. Where can you fit into this family structure in a way where you're getting nourished and you're doing some of the nourishing?
I think what you're saying is It's so easy to just go off into your own life and get things done, put the fires out that need to happen right in front of you every day. And sometimes we just forget about some people. I'm thinking about a cousin that has just gone on hospice. She's older than I, and we should be over there. We should be over there seeing how she's doing. She lives a long way away, though. I mean, but still, I know that she has a phone, and I need to contact her. And it's not just our immediate family. It's so important to feel connected to your family. And you can't be connected to everybody all the time, obviously. But
we sure have the tools for it.
We sure do. It's amazing.
So let me ask you this question, Linda. So we've got people listening to this podcast who are young parents. We've got people listening to this podcast who are getting toward empty nest parenting. We've got grandparents listening, and we may have younger people listening. We certainly have single adults listening.
And single parents, certainly.
Yeah. How do you, in whichever those roles you're in, how do you go about being proactive about creating a more unified and more synergistic family, with the emphasis on being there for the children in the family and bringing to bear a coordinated effort where we're all trying to help and where the parents have some help in raising the kids? And so let me be more specific. Who should initiate that? I mean, should a parent be going to his or her parents and saying, look, I need some help with these kids, and you know so much, and I want us to work more closely together? Or alternatively, hey, mom and dad, you're too much involved with my kids. Back off a little and let me direct it. I mean, should the initiative come from the parent like that, or should the grandparent be saying, hey, you know, to my daughter or my son, we love your children so much, but we don't see enough of them. How can we be more involved with them? What do you as a parent feel you need help on? How can we coordinate, or can we, you know, take instructions or take the lead from you? How do we be a part of their lives a little more? Where should that initiative come from?
And it really is. It's something that we don't often think about, because life just flows and happens. And unless we really bring it back to what can I do to help, it really, you can lose track of kids and grandkids and so on, because life is just so busy swirling around us.
And they grow up so fast, and it's so easy, especially as a grandparent, to just sort of think of them as the same as they were last year when you saw them last,
right, or whatever, yeah,
and not realize what they're going through and what's happening and so on. And we see so many families where there's a little conflict between the grandparents and the kid and the parents, right? I mean,
or between the
grandparents are saying, well, you're doing this wrong. Here's what you ought to be doing with that child. Or the parents are saying, oh, that, you know, times are different now, mom and dad. You don't even understand what it's like to be a parent today. And they pass like ships in the night. So what we want to do in the second half of the show today is offer some specific, I don't know whether to call them techniques, that's probably not the right word, or methods. They're just ideas for trying to get a three-generation family to be working together better, irrespective of how far apart they live from each other. Because as you pointed out, honey, we have the tools to be involved with generation one and three, like grandparents and children, even if there's 3,000 miles between.
Yeah, and it's interesting how much that has changed, because I remember as a teenager, my cousin was older than I, and she was married, and she had married children, and she had a daughter who moved across the country, and she just thought, okay, maybe I'll see him in a couple of years, and maybe I won't. There just was, long distance calls were expensive, and it was just not possible to be in touch with him.
And that's really the irony, that today with the amount of communication and the access and the availability we have through all of our electronics and all of our technology. Yet we live in a world that most people conclude is more divided, more fragmented, more out of touch with each other than at any other time. So
hang on, because we're going to come back and really shoot you a whole lot of ideas of how we can get more connected. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Ayers on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Ayer.
And we're back. Are you ready? We are going to pepper you with some ideas and you know, hopefully you'll find one or two that will work for you.
And on this first one, keep in mind that one of the things that draws people close is to be working on a common goal. And that's kind of the principle that underlines this first one, that if parents and grandparents are communicating about the children, and if they're doing it in an atmosphere of the goal being to do all we can for those children, that tends to pull the parents and the grandparents closer together. That may sound obvious, but that's the premise of this. And what we've started doing, and we love this, although we're not doing it as frequently as we thought, and maybe there's a lesson in that, we call it a five-facet review, where parents and grandparents sit down together. Now, we're not talking about grandparents with a lot of their children. We're talking about grandparents two-on-two or one-on-one, depending on whether there's two grandparents and two parents. But having an actual meeting, I'm going to use the word meeting, either go to dinner together, or if there's distance involved, get on a Zoom call together, and we call it a five-facet review. And essentially what that is these four people, or three, or however many there are, but the grandparent, all the grandparents and all the parents of these particular children or child, are going to go through these children one at a time and say, how is Jennifer doing physically? And talk about Jennifer. Now, the parents will be taking the lead because they know more about Jennifer's physical problems or development or whatever than the grandparents. The grandparents are listening, asking questions, maybe contributing here and there. How's Jennifer doing physically? How's Jennifer doing mentally? How's she doing at school? How does she learn? What are her issues? What are her assets? How's she doing emotionally? Well, how are her moods? How is her temperament? Is there depression? Is there anxiety? How's she doing emotionally? How's she doing socially? Who are her friends? What's going on there? What's happening in her social world? Whatever age she is. And finally, the fifth facet, how is Jennifer doing spiritually? How's her heart? How is she doing in terms of her feelings and her faith and her belief? It's a beautiful thing to focus the four people who probably know her best, the grandparents and the parents. How can we help? How can we help? And again, parents taking the lead, grandparents acknowledging, you're the parent. I'm not trying to take over. I want to listen to you. I want to learn. I want to help where you want me to. But first of all, I need to know all I can about this child.
Well, but honey, this is natural and normal for us because we've done it our whole lives with our kids. And this is a little bit harder if you're the parent or the grandparent to say, I want to know more about your children. I mean, it's a little bit delicate. You need to be sure.
Yeah, be careful.
You go in and say,
if you're the grandparent, be very careful.
Be very careful. And if you're the parent, I mean, also, it's really a compliment to your parents to be asked for help.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
you know, you really want them to know more about your child. Because, you know, we go to the zoo, we go to the aquarium like we did last week, and the kids are darling and so on. But you don't really know what's going on with that child until you sit down and talk to that parent and say, how is this child doing? And just start it with, we want to be helped. We want to know what's going on with your kids.
And see, we keep saying that from the grandparent standpoint, because that's what we are. But in a perfect world, I think you would, and what you're basically saying, Linda, in a perfect world, it's the parent who is initiating this, and or at least being proactive about it,
yeah,
and saying, I want your help, mom and dad, or grandparents, or grandparent, but I want you to know what I'm trying to do with this child, what I think the issues are. And we've found that a five-facet review is the way to really do a deep dive into who this child is and find out what the needs are.
Well, and I think often parents are disengaged a little bit when, especially when they live a long distance away with the child. And I have had so many parents say to me, how do I get my parents involved? Because I have some teenagers, they are struggling. I think that my parents could help with that if they knew what was going on.
If
so
they knew, yeah.
The initiation should come from either one.
The initiative, yeah.
Either
and
one.
And the initiation.
But it's really helpful if you're doing that. Because we've done this, we usually are one like, can we just do a five-facet review? And actually, even though we've grown up with all these kids and we have this ton of grandkids, we learn so much in one hour from parents about what a child is really thinking.
We
really
like to go to dinner with them and talk. And we set out thinking we could maybe do this once a month. That's a little unrealistic. We're sort of shooting for once every quarter to have this sort of real meeting of the minds talking about these children. And you know, see, I think what you're getting at, Linda, sometimes it's sort of ad hoc, like, oh, Billy's got a problem. What should we do? And it's this is more of an effort to back up and say, wait, let's start with the real knowledge of Billy or of Jennifer. And you go through those five facets. You're looking at the whole child, and you're preparing yourselves, all of you, whether you're the grandparent or the parent, to really think of something meaningful. You're not just putting out fires. You're not just saying, oh, we'll talk when Jennifer has a problem, or when it becomes obvious that she needs help, then we'll try to pitch in or whatever.
Yeah.
You're taking the offense by really thinking about Jennifer and synergizing, right?
Yeah.
You're leading, you're talking, you're discussing, and you're getting ideas.
And when you have a child, a grandchild that's kind of out of control, and instead of just thinking, oh my gosh, why can't those parents take care of this? Why can't they see what they need to do, which we do,
which is our tendency.
But instead, if you know a little bit about the background, when this child has an outrageous meltdown, you just think, oh, I get it. I know, because they've told me this is what this child is dealing with right now, instead of judging. And it has just been so helpful for us to really kind of know what's going on.
Now, we're going to give you four specific ideas, and that's just the first one. So we'll label that the five-facet review, a meeting between parents and grandparents to discuss individual children. The second one is mainly for grandparents, and it ties in with this. And if you're a parent, this is something you could encourage your parents, the grandparents, to do. We call it a grandkids ledger.
Well, you could do this as a parent.
Of course you could. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, a ledger where if you're the grandparent, you're taking notes on this five-facet review about this child, about Jennifer. And when you talk to Jennifer, or when you take her on a grandpa date or whatever, you're bringing that book along and you're asking Jennifer questions as a grandparent. How are you doing? What's happening here? What's your favorite thing to do? You're just getting into Jennifer's head. You're taking notes. And we've found that grandkids really love it when they see a grandparent taking notes on them and actually trying to, you know them and really care about them. So think of the grandparents' ledger, or the grandkids' ledger, as a tool. And like you say, certainly parents should be doing that too, you know, be really thinking about each of their children.
Right.
But it's an actual tool to enhance this five facet review and the interaction between generation one and three.
Right. So okay. Number three,
We call it fortnightlies. And that will mean nothing to you, except if you're British or you know, you may know that a fortnight is 2 weeks. And we just love that term because we've spent so much time in England. But we try to get all of our children on the phone for a fortnightly.
Well, not on the phone, on Zoom.
I'm sorry. There you go again. There's me. There's my generation speaking. On a Zoom call once every 2 weeks. And it's fairly late on Sunday night, and the ones that have small kids have their kids put to bed, and we rotate among us as the grandparents and each of our children as to who's in charge of that fortnightly, and it's just a time to discuss.
Yeah.
And so if you're in charge, you send a podcast to everybody or something you're interested in, or some topic that you think everyone would resonate with, and then you have a little discussion about it. But in actual fact, it ends up being largely just an update time. Everyone's on together, doesn't have to last very long. What's going on? What's the latest?
Right.
Any news, anything? Because again, we want everyone in the family to know what everyone else is doing.
And we have to say that we have not been doing this for years and years. We just started this. about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
But it's really been helpful to have, and everybody can't come all the time. They just can't be there. And we have kids living in Switzerland, and then we have kids living in Maui. And so it is
12 hours
so hard to find a time. But it really is amazing. And we actually now, we can actually record the Zoom and send it to him. And we also have a really fun thing that one of our kids has introduced us to, and that is that AI can take notes. This is
AI
hilarious.
Can do a Zoom summary of the discussion. And some of it's really amazingly accurate, and some of it's hilarious because...
Yeah, because they don't know us and so on. But it is just send us the recording or send us the update, and it's pretty astonishing what is coming in scary ways as well as really amazing ways.
Now, again, you're saying, well, what's the reason for that? The reason is connectivity, being connected. And you may say, yeah, but we talk on the phone all the time or we text all the time. Yeah, but those are little snippets. Those are just little things you need or things you're asking. This is like, okay, but once every 2 weeks, and you might change, you might do it once a month, or you might do it once a week, whatever. We like fortnightly. But it's the idea of everyone knowing that there is a regular time when we're just connecting. Now, the connection of, you know, one grandparent with one parent or whatever, that's an individual thing, and that might happen anytime. But we know there's one time every couple of weeks when we're all going to try to connect and just be a family, even though we're spread out and we live all different places, because just that feeling of connectivity, you know, allows a certain kind of well-being.
And even if your kids are all in the same cul-de-sac, how often do you really stop and talk about something that's meaningful to one of them? When do you have time to do that? It is just really hard to find time to talk about things. I mean, we have some that are really interested in a podcast. That's great. Last week, our son, Josh, who is
he's
a teacher, but he loves astronomy. In fact, we have two kids on the road right now chasing that eclipse to try to find where to go, Texas, or should we go to St. Louis? And then we have Josh.
Where will it not be cloudy?
We just got a ticket to Boston last night because
Vermont
is going to be the best place where the clouds are and where the clouds are not. So
the point is he did his discussion on a podcast about the universe and about the possibility of alien life.
Well, not really, but it was amazing. It was so incredible. He knows so much and the heavens are so glorious. It was so fun.
Last idea of the four is just, this may or may not appeal to you, but we got thinking that one of the things we really had a hard time with when we were young and had a lot of small children is we never got away, just the two of us. We were always with the kids, and and a couple needs some time alone. So we've tried to take some steps, and it could range. We have a name for it, as you might guess, R&SCF. And that means, in case you're curious, relationship and spiritual creation facilitation. Relationship and spiritual communication facilitation. That's a wonderful long phrase to mean we would like to give our kids a chance every once in a while to go on an overnight or something, just the two of them, and keep their courtship going, which might mean we babysit the kids while they're gone. Or it might even mean we find a place and send them somewhere and give them a little weekend treat or something. But that's a really good way to ingratiate yourself to your children.
Yes, for sure.
And then may make the other three ideas work.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've thought of ideas too, but we hope this has given you something to think about, because just in the day-to-day is survival sometimes. And if you can pull back and say, where is our family right now? What can we do to make it better? And to have more communication, to love one another more because we know each other better, I think this might help.
Can I just say one word in conclusion?
I guess.
Connect. Connectivity within your larger family.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on Hires on the Road.